Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going for that classic 90s jungle and drum and bass low end. Simple, stable, loud, and absolutely not doing that modern the sub is wobbling like jelly thing. The whole idea is this. The sub should feel like a concrete pillar. All the movement, attitude, and rave flavor lives above it. If you nail that split, you can push the bass loud under fast breakbeats and it'll still sound clean, centered, and mean. By the end, you'll have a two-layer bass system. A pure mono sub that stays consistent, plus a mid layer that gives you that Hoover-ish, Reese-ish character and motion without turning your low end into soup. Then we'll glue it together on a bass bus, add a little control, and do proper mono checks like it's a serious record. Alright, step 0. Quick session setup, but it matters. Set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 175. Let's pick 172 BPM as a nice sweet spot. Now give yourself headroom. Don't build this lesson with your master slamming. Keep peaks hovering around minus 60 BFS while you're designing the bass. On the master, drop a utility and pull the gain down by about 60 dB temporarily. And here's a huge habit, map mono on that utility to a key. You want to be able to tap one key and instantly hear, does my bass survive in mono, yes or no? Because in this style, mono compatibility is not optional. Clubs, raves, big systems, even a lot of playback situations low end ends up basically mono. So we build for that. Now step 1. Write the bass MIDI. This is where the wobble-free secret actually lies. It's not just sound design. It's note choice, rhythm, and note length. Start in F minor. That key has been powering dark rave music since forever, and it sits well with typical kick fundamentals. Make a 1-bar or 2-bar clip. Keep the sub notes mostly root and fifth. So you're living around F and C, with maybe an ebb as a passing moment if you want it. But don't write a whole melody down there. The more notes you add, the more inconsistent your low-end energy becomes, and the harder it is to mix under breaks. For rhythm, think offbeat and syncopation. Hits that push the groove forward, but leave space for the kick and snare. Keep most notes short, like 1/16 to 1/8, and then choose one or two longer anchor notes that hold the floor together. That contrast between short and long is one of the most underrated ways to get roll without touching an LFO. Teacher tip, note length is groove. If your bass feels like it's fighting the drums, don't immediately reach for EQ or sidechain. First, look at your note endings. Ending a bass note slightly earlier can create the punch you were trying to force with compression. Now step 2. Build the sub. This is the clean, stable, mono foundation. Create a MIDI track called SUB. Load operator. Oscillator is a sine wave. Keep it dead simple. Make sure you're on one voice. No unison. No chorus. No stereo widening. No pitch envelope. And also, check for glide or portamento. If anything is sliding between notes, it can create implied wobble even if you didn't put an LFO anywhere. So glide off. Now shape the amp envelope. Attack around 0 to 5 milliseconds. Just enough to avoid clicks but still punchy. Decay around 200 to 500 milliseconds, depending on how long you want the note to speak. Sustain can be all the way down if you want more plucky notes, or a bit higher if you want held notes. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. Again, we're balancing tightness with no clicks. Before we process, a huge stability check. Make sure your MIDI notes on the SUB do not overlap. Overlaps can create weird pitch ambiguity and little level bumps that feel like warble. So select all notes and shorten them slightly as a clean workflow. You want clean note offs. Now the sub-processing chain, stock devices, in order. First, EQ8. We're not high-passing the sub by default. People do this out of habit and accidentally delete the whole point of the track. Leave the high pass off unless you have a specific problem. If you need to reduce mud with the brakes, do a gentle, wide dip somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. Wide Q. Subtle. You're not trying to carve it into a telephone. You're just avoiding low mid buildup. And be careful with room boom. If your room lies to you around 50 or 60 Hz, you might be tempted to cut there. Only do that if you're confident it's truly a mix issue. Otherwise, you'll EQ your sub to match your room problems and it'll translate badly. Next, add saturator. This is for audibility harmonics, not fuzz. Choose soft sine or analog clip. Drive around 1 to 4 dB. Then trim output so bypass and enabled are roughly the same loudness. That's important, because we don't want louder to trick us into thinking it's better. Then utility. Width goes to 0%. Always. This is non-negotiable for the sub layer. Adjust gain here for a stable level. And here are the hard rules for wobble-free sub. No chorus, no unison, no stereo widening, no LFO on pitch or filter. Minimal distortion. Too much distortion down low can create beating in the harmonics, and you'll perceive it as wobble even if the fundamental is steady. Extra coaching move. If you want the sub to be consistent without compressing it to death, use velocity discipline. Make your sub clip velocities nearly flat, like 90 to 100, and you can even put a velocity MIDI effect before operator. Set drive to zero, and bring up comp around 20 to 40%. That gently tightens inconsistent playing without squashing the audio. Now step 3, the mid layer. This is where we earn the 90s rave flavor, and we do it without stealing the low end from the sub. Create a MIDI track called MID Bass. Copy the same MIDI from sub to start. You can add tiny variations later, but start identical so you can hear exactly what the layer is contributing. Load Waveitable for a controlled resish sound. Oscillator 1 is a saw wave. Oscillator 2 is also a saw, slightly detuned. We're talking 5 to 12 cents, not a modern super saw stack. Just enough to get that moving edge. Unison. Two voices max or off. If you turn it on, keep the amount low. Remember, the mid can have width, but if it gets too wide it'll start pulling the whole bass image off center and it can collapse in mono. Filter. LP24. Start cutoff around 200 to 600 Hz. We're designing mids, not trying to make this do the sub's job. Add a little filter drive, like 2 to 6, to thicken it. Now process the MID with a very specific goal. Everything below the split point belongs to the sub. Everything above can have character. First device, EQ8. High pass at around 90 to 130 Hz, with a steep slope, 24 to 48 dB per octave. This is one of the most important moves in the entire lesson. It prevents overlap, phase weirdness, and why did my sub get quieter when I turned on the mid moments. Then, if you need bite, you can shape presence with a small boost around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Don't overdo it. Breaks already live in that zone. Next, auto filter for movement. This is where people mess up. The movement has to be subtle. We're not making a wah-wah. Set a low-pass filter. Use a manual cutoff as your base. Then enable the LFO sync to 1/8 or 1/16. Amount should be small, like 5 to 15%. The mid should feel animated, but the bass line should still feel like it's holding a pitch center. Next, add saturator or overdrive. Overdrive can sound very 90s when used gently. Try drive around 15 to 35%. Set tone so the bite sits in the 2 to 5 kHz region, and keep dry slash wet somewhere like 20 to 50%, or use saturator at 3 to 8 dB with soft clip on. Either way, you're building attitude above the sub. Optionally, add chorus ensemble, but only on the MID, and keep it light, dry slash wet 5 to 15%. The moment the bass starts drifting left-right or collapsing in mono, back it down. Advanced alternative that's often more mono-stable than chorus. Try frequency shifter on the MID only. Use ring mode or very subtle frequency shift. Amount like 0.5 to 3 Hz. Yes, Hz. Mix very low. It adds that animated rasp, without turning your low end into a stereo phase experiment. Now step 4. Group it. Select SUB and MID bass and group them into a bass bus. This is where we do gentle glue and system checks. On the bass bus, start with EQ8. Don't low cut the bus. Don't got your own sub. If the mix feels boxy, try a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz. And if it's getting too fizzy or modern, you can do a tiny shelf down above 8 to 10 kHz to keep it more vintage. Then add glue compressor. Light control only. Attack 10 to 30 ms. Release auto or around 100 to 200 ms. Ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. If you're taking 5 dB off, you're not gluing anymore. You're flattening your groove. Then utility on the bus. Normally keep width at 100%, because the mid can be stereo. But remember that mono toggle you mapped on the master? Use it constantly. And if you want an even more focused check, you can also toggle mono on the bass bus temporarily and listen for the low end disappearing. If it vanishes when the MID plays, your MID is either not high-passed enough, too wide, or using an effect that introduces phase cancellation. If you have a correlation meter available, use it. Think of it as a quick warning light. If it regularly goes negative when the MID hits, you're building a mono problem. Reduce width, reduce chorus, or raise the MID high pass. Now step 5, sidechain to the kick. Put a compressor on the bass bus, or if you want the sub to be super consistent, put it on sub only. Sidechain input from your kick track. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release around 60 to 120 milliseconds, ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1, set threshold, so you're getting around 1 to 4 dB of reduction on kick hits. Important genre note, in DNB, we typically use less sidechain than house or techno. You want clarity, not obvious pumping. And here's a really good Ravira clarity trick. Instead of sidechaining the whole bass bus equally, sidechain the mid a bit more than the sub. That way the mid talking gets out of the way of the kick transient, but the sub sustain stays authoritative and the track doesn't feel like it's breathing unnaturally. Now, before we arrange, let's do a quick 1996 style kick and sub tuning check. Because a lot of woolly low end isn't EQ. It's two fundamentals fighting. Play Q8 on the kick. Use a bell with a high Q, and sweep to find where the thump is strongest. Often it's somewhere around 45 to 65 Hz. Now look at your bass root. If your sub is sitting right on top of that same zone, you've got options. Option 1. Pick a kick with a different fundamental. Option 2. Change the bass octave, like F1 versus F0 or F2 depending on your track. Option 3. Shorten sub notes so the kick transient reads clearly before the bass fills in. In fast DNB, that timing relationship is everything. Now step 6. Make it feel 90s in the arrangement without touching the sub. Classic approach. Keep the sub consistent for 8 to 16 bars. Don't automate the sub filter. Don't wobble it. Let it be the floor. Then automate the mid. In bars 1 to 8, keep the mid cutoff a bit closed so it's darker. In bars 9 to 16, open it slightly and add a touch more drive. Every 4 bars, try dropping the mid for half a bar. When it comes back, it feels massive, and the sub never stopped doing its job. Another classic drop trick. At the drop, remove the mid for the first 2 beats. Let it be sub and drums only. Then slam the mid in on beat 3. It makes the sub feel enormous and keeps the cleanest moment right when the drums are most transient heavy. And if you want space, do it the smart way. Add reverb or delay on a return channel, feed it only from the mid, and high pass that return around 200 to 300 Hz. That gives you a rave tail without smearing the low end. Alright, common mistakes to avoid. Quick but real. Don't put chorus or unison on the sub. It will sound wide soloed, and then it'll turn weak and unstable in mono. Don't distort the low frequencies heavily. This audio version is shortened for playback.